guys, how's it going? Hope you're doing well. I'm sorry I missed last week. I was off in Nashville for a family get together. We had a really great time. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Nashville, but there's so much to do. We had 2 full days of exploring, and it was just a really great time. So for this week, I had started prepping actually a different topic. And then yesterday I was browsing the internet and I came across this brand new article just published yesterday, or maybe published a couple days ago, but brand new this week. And I thought it was just really interesting, and I kind of abandoned my original idea, but I'll pick that one up later, don't worry. And I wanted to talk about this brand new technique that has come about. So the paper I'm going to talk about today was published in Nature, came out August 8th. It's titled RNA Velocity of Single Cells. And this is by a large group of people. The first author is Lamano, and it's looking at how we can measure RNA abundance in a cell, but then also look at the changes in RNA rates and whether or not the RNA quantity in that cell is increasing or decreasing at the given point in time when the measurement is taken. I think this is really cool because all the work I've done and all the work that I've read up until now is just looking at the snapshot concentration. So at the very point in time where you have taken your sample, what is the RNA abundance in that cell? And what this paper is doing, they've figured out a way to determine whether that quantity in the cell at that point in time is increasing or decreasing. And I think this is super cool. It's super smart, and we'll go through it together. But I think this is it's gonna have a large impact on the field, I think, and how we can look at and understand development of cells, development of individuals and physiological processes within cells. So let's dive into it. So one of the main ways that we try to understand complex systems in biology is to measure the dynamics happening within those systems. And within those dynamics, gene expression is probably one of the big examples of a complex system. We know a lot about gene expression, but we also know not enough about gene expression. And because it's so integral to producing proteins and everything that makes us as humans work, having a deeper understanding of gene expression and the complex system could only be beneficial. We have over 20,000 genes that are orchestrating functions in our tissues, so understanding how those work could be very beneficial. As I said previously, we do have methods to take a snapshot analysis. So we can take tissue, say from a liver sample, isolate the RNA from it, and run what we call real-time PCR. And that gives us an indication of the quantities of specific RNAs in that tissue. There's also a technique called RNA sequencing, which is pretty much exactly as it sounds. It measures the abundance of RNA transcripts for every gene in every cell of a sample. RNA sequencing is a powerful tool. We can use it when comparing different populations. So if we're looking at a group of animals that received one treatment versus another, we'll take a sample and look at the expression of the same gene and see how they differ between populations. So what we've been lacking into this point is the ability to measure how genes vary in expression in individual cells over time. And this is exactly what the paper by Lamano and colleagues is discussing. Now, you may think that they did this through some overly complicated, maybe time series samples, comparing expression from one time point to another. But they actually did it within a single sample. So, using the same amount of samples that I've taken in the past to do my RNA analysis, they've used and are coming out with these RNA dynamics. And that may sound too good to be true, but it's actually not. Considering the process of going from DNA to a functional protein, the general steps are DNA undergoes transcription. That's how we create the mRNA from the DNA. And then this mRNA is translated into the proteins. Now, during this transcription of DNA to mRNA, you get kind of a heterogeneous population of mRNAs within the cell. And this is because when mRNAs are initially translated, they have a lot of extra stuff in them, a lot of extra coding that isn't required for the translation step into the protein. So a way that you could think about this is maybe a poorly constructed sentence. So something with a lot of ums and ahs and I don't knows and maybes, and then you take all of those out and you get the actual sentence that you really are trying to say. For example, you could say biology is like kind of the best science that that exists. Or you could simply say biology is the best science that exists. So it's that kind of editing that would occur within these mRNAs. And the key to this is that the editing occurs over time. So at any given time point in a cell, you will have a mixture of the edited and the unedited mRNAs. And the key to the technique that Lamano and all are using is that the ratio of edited to unedited will change depending on whether gene expression is increasing or decreasing within the cell. And they're calling this change in expression RNA velocity. So within a cell, how can you use this? When you're thinking about a gene that is stably expressed, so pretty much constant expression within the gene that's not changing at the time of your analysis, a small fraction of its mRNA will always be found in the unedited form because it's being constantly expressed. And that's because older transcripts are being continuously replaced with new ones. Now, when you have a gene that's just been activated, for a short period of time, there's going to be a much higher proportion of unedited transcripts. And converse to that, when the expression of a gene is being repressed, the proportion of short-lived unedited transcripts is going to drop before the longer-lived edited mRNA transcripts drop. So for each gene in a cell, the ratio of the unedited to edited mRNA can be used to directly infer the expression dynamics in that instant. Now, what this technique is specifically useful for is single cell analysis. So if you can imagine taking a tissue sample and running this kind of analysis, you might get kind of a messy result or something that could be misinterpreted because you have a mixture of cells within that tissue that could be reacting in different ways to your treatment. So an increase in one, a decrease in another could end up with you seeing no change. But if you're looking at a single isolated cell, these dynamics mean a whole lot. So once they figured out that they could do this using the ratio of edited to unedited RNAs, they took the algorithms that they developed to calculate whether or not gene expression was increasing or decreasing and applied it to both published and newly collected data sets as a test. One of the key cell types that they looked at were embryo cells, and I think these are important because they are constantly developing. They're differentiating into different cell types required to make up an organism. So the gene expression within these cells would be constantly changing and shifting depending on the cell growth and differentiation. So they found that their RNA velocity algorithms could accurately detect the increases and decreases in gene expression that cells in the embryo are known to undergo as they differentiate from cell type to cell type. They also use their RNA velocity to look at gene expression dynamics in the developing brain of a mouse, and also looking at intestinal stem cell differentiation. And in both of these examples, they found that their algorithms aligned with what is currently known for the development of these tissues. So whatever they're doing is working. It makes sense. It checks out with what's already known and published in scientific literature. So while this is a major breakthrough, there's definitely some limitations to the technique. By its nature, using RNA velocity, you can't track a given cell over time. It's also limited to the study of mRNA. And of course, it doesn't provide information about the spatial organization of the cells. And these types of limitations could be restrictive when exploring phenomena in stem cell biology, embryonic development, or the onset of disease, which are likely to depend on the lineage and arrangement of cells, and which can be driven by mechanisms other than transcription, including protein phosphorylation. The method gives only a probabilistic description of cell dynamics, which is pieced together from instantaneous velocities. So these are some areas that will continue to be of high interest in research and continue to be studied using possibly complementary methods such as live imaging. So despite these limitations, the ability to infer true instantaneous RNA velocities in a single cell is a huge leap forward, especially for studies of gene expression dynamics on the whole genome scale. And I expect that using these RNA velocity values and calculations will become almost essential for anyone doing work in single cell systems. And a good way to think about this is in relation to cell culture, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. So when you're culturing those cells, they are a single cell system. So any treatment that you do to those is affecting the entire system, and you can isolate these cells. They will be homologous, and you can run this type of analysis on them and get a picture of the dynamics happening within those cells. For example, when I introduce the EGF to my cells after doing a scratch test, so after scratching off a line of those cells and they are in the process of repairing that wound, if I sample them then and look at their RNA velocities, I could see not only which pathways are active, but which pathways are increasing and decreasing. It's just really interesting and cool, and I can't wait for more of this to be applied and for this work to come out. So unfortunately, access to this full article is behind Nature's paywall, so you have to have either a subscription or buy the single article to have full access. But I have found a preprint copy that is openly available online, and I'll throw a link of that up on the blog. It might be a little bit beyond regular comprehension. I know there's some math stuff in there, especially with the algorithms that they developed to calculate their gene expression or their RNA velocities. And I'm not even sure what half of them mean, so I wouldn't expect you to. But I'll put that up there just for interest's sake. They also have a couple of cool figures at the end of the article that may make it easier to visualize what their RNA velocities can be depicting or can be causing within the cells. I'm also going to throw up an image of that RNA transcription so you can get an idea or a better idea of what happens when it goes from the unedited to the edited RNA. With that, I'm going to wrap it up for the week. Hopefully you found this as interesting as I did, and I wasn't just babbling to you about RNA expression. Next week, I think I'm going to do the topic that I had originally planned, which is looking at speech development and how we as humans differ genetically from great apes and possibly other animals, and how that has given us the ability to develop speech, and maybe what we thought we knew about this versus what we now know about this. So just a little teaser. Have a great week. Thanks for listening to Words About Biology. And I hope to have you here next time. Bye, guys.